Hello, everybody. This is Sean Goodsell with the McCarthy Project, and I'm here with Stephen McCarthy, also from the McCarthy Project, and we're excited to bring you another show here from sunny Minnesota. And what I'd like to do to start with, Stephen, is just say welcome to the listeners and have you introduce kind of how we're going to go about today's show.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you, Sean, for coming alongside as you always do. That is your best strength, is helping people with projects. And I always am thankful to have you here because it always makes the show tremendously better. So from that standpoint, we are going to kind of refresh a little bit from last week to kind of set the stage and then move over into how to train the central nervous system, because it became even more obvious after we again did the show this morning from the Mental Edge today earlier that the mind is literally the controlling portion of success and failure in life, as well as in the world of athletics. And so much is done to retard our understanding of what we're doing in space, of what we're doing in our life, that you do need to set it up properly so that when you do train yourself, that you actually do receive the benefits. And I think after today's show, you'll see that there are numerous things you can do to train your central nervous system, train your brain to receive the training so that you can accomplish whatever it is you're looking to accomplish. So that's kind of the basis of today's show.
So let's just let me just ask you a question, Stephen, because I know that you know the normal listener might hear the concept of the central nervous system. They may not have listened last week. So let's let's talk just briefly on what you know about the central nervous system and why it is a point of focus for you in wanting to educate and enlighten the listener. You know, what brings you to want to talk about the central nervous system?
Because so much emphasis is put on, you know, accomplishing your goals, which is, like we talked about this morning, it is not about talent. In how many coaches did we listen to as young kids that told it's 80% between your ears and the other 10%, 20% is your physical being? Whether it's the corporate system, you know, or it's athletics, so much is accomplished between your ears. And when you take a step back to look at performing at a high level, your brain, your central nervous system, which is basically your brain and your spine. So we're going to be talking about the brain today. But if you are going to accomplish what you're looking to accomplish in life, your brain needs to be working at a high level. You need to be sharp. You need to have the proper thoughts. They need to send the sensations to your body about what it should be or should not be doing at both a conscious and a subconscious level. It's the most complex portion of your total anatomy, and yet we don't hardly ever talk about how to train it and how to make it work at a high level. So many people are just going through life working out, thinking that magically what they're doing is going to produce the success that they want. And it's actually very much farthest from the truth. There's a lot of research that shows that people in the United States today are working out more than ever, but yet they're fatter than they ever have been before. Well, why is that happening? If you're working out and burning calories, they always talk about, well, if you burn less, you burn more calories, then you're taking in, you're in a deficit, therefore you'll lose weight. Isn't that what we've always heard?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But then why aren't we losing weight?
Well, are you going down a subject matter here that might get us off track a little bit? I mean, come on, you would never do that, would you, Stephen? You know, I have my own thoughts about that. I honestly think right now that the reason why we are living in a generation of more people that are overweight and obese is because of insulin more so than because of calories.
You know, and it's basically what it boils down to, if you kind of go back to last week's talk, is that the brain is being manipulated to not work properly. And that is where the insulin gains, that's where the growth hormone. I mean, last week we didn't even talk about the testosterone estrogen question, which there is research that shows that cash register receipts have BPA. Now, we always had the BPA was part of the baby formula scare, you know, that it was very truthful, that basically if you heat up your baby formula in the plastic bottle, that you were actually getting that BPA into the formula and they were giving it to your baby. Yeah, I mean, that was a big thing. Pardon me?
No, I didn't say anything.
And so, okay, sorry. But then they passed all these laws that say that, or, you know, passed or got out this information. But what we didn't realize is that the BPA is on cash register street at cash register receipts. It's inside cans. It's all still in our system, in our food sources, in what we're doing as daily living. And we're still getting that BPA, even though supposedly it's not in the baby formula or in the plastic. And so, but why is that a big deal? Well, that BPA is going directly into your bloodstream and then therefore going to your brain and causing it to not function properly.
Well, I was just going to say, Stephen, that's been your passion here as we've been talking about the central nervous system is – there's two factors. There's the ability to enhance the efficiency and functioning of the central nervous system, and the other aspect of it is eliminating those things that are hindering the enhancement of the functioning of the central nervous system. And I like the way that you framed this because basically you have two points of action then that you can take. You can eliminate things that are hindering, and you can execute things that will enhance. So in some ways, the listener's getting the best of both worlds here, that they get to learn about two different genres, if you will, of information that can help them enhance their performance.
Exactly, and that's where I think when you look at, and trying to be funny a little bit, but to a certain extent, why is it that people are working so hard, and we're going to use general society first, why are they working so hard, but yet they got a big pot belly? You know, and why is it that research shows that, you know, your insulin levels are not being managed properly, and therefore there's more diabetics, you know what I mean? And it all gets back to these excitotoxins, where essentially these chemicals, these environmental factors, aluminum, and there's a whole host of them that if you look into last week's research, aspartame, MSG, aluminum, mercury, are actually sitting in our environment, sitting in our food, and they get into our system. They cause our brain to get overly excited, which then when it gets overly excited, it actually essentially burns out, and then the nerve cell dies. But the problem that comes down is that the major health problems only show up when 60 to 70% of your brain is in this position. Well, you're still losing your performance along the way because you have to get up to the 60, 70% of your brain acting this way. And this is why I'm proposing the idea of if you create this foundation properly of diet and recovery and understanding what's going on in your brain, and it's not that difficult once you get the information, you just see that you've got to eat a couple different things, then you now are in a position where now the training that you're going to go ahead and do will actually prove fruitful. You'll gain the benefits of the training rather than fighting against yourself. It's almost like where you move ahead one step and you go back two steps, move ahead one step and you just never get anywhere.
Well, I think about it this way. I think about if I went to work every day and I correlated going to work with doing a workout. And at the end of the day of work, in this case, at the end of my workout, the correlation is if I did a whole day's work and didn't get any money, it would feel like my workout was a waste or my work was a waste. And I think a lot of people are doing workouts that aren't benefiting them, not because they're not working hard during their workout, not because they're not executing the workout with proper technique and form, but because of what you're talking about here, the workout never gets to do its work in the for the service of the person's goal, because they are inhibiting the effectiveness of their body through some of the things you're going to talk about and have talked about here.
Absolutely. And that's the, it's a funny because we've talked about before, but the simpleness of that makes all the sense in the world. If you're inhibiting your work, then you're never going to take the step forward. Why is it that you would expect results from something that you're basically getting a net zero from? And that's the piece of the puzzle that I think so many people in today's world think that, oh, you need to buy organic, you need to get the herbicide, you know, and they threw out all these names and they think they're all a bunch of freaks. But when they realize that those chemicals are actually going in your body, I mean, I'm going to be posting up some news that it'll make people absolutely make their head swim. I think I read something that said like cucumbers have 180% of your daily fluoride overdose. I'm sorry throwing that out there. I should have never done that, but let's leave that for another time. But in the end, all I'm saying is get the basics first so that when you do the work, you get the benefit. That's it.
Hey,
nothing more, nothing.
Do you know why people continue to work out when they don't get results? Because psychologically speaking, we're more tied to the myth of how to work out than we are noticing the results of our workout. So I know people that do the same workout all the time because they think the power is in the workout. And the workout could be ineffective. It could have no value to them in terms of the goals that they have. But they've put so much trust in what they think they've known for so many years that they don't even pay attention to whether they're getting closer to their goal, because they start to worship the workout or worship the myth over the production and the result.
And that's – it gets back to what we talk – I'm sorry. For everybody, they need to listen to the Mental Edge Today show because we went over this. Because this morning we talked about the fog of mediocrity, the fog of the information, the haze that's over everybody's brain is directly associated with these excitotoxins. I have, these last couple of weeks, ventured to do what I'm saying to do, is essentially find out that you need certain things for your brain to work properly. You need magnesium, and again, I'm not even going to go there, but Dr. Blaylock goes through all that information and say, okay, these are the things that you need to make your brain. I went through and purposely put those things in my body. And I'm telling you, my desire for coffee and always needing the caffeine fix went away. My brain is clear. I'm able to go longer without feeling like I'm going to wipe out and do a big pile. And that haze you talked about is directly associated with what you're putting in your body and what's happening in your environment.
Well, this is great stuff. So I know that on the other end here, you're going to lead us into a discussion that will highlight the main points of last week's show, and then you're going to move us into the content for today's show. So let's take a break, Stephen, and at the other side, let's get into the core content of today's show. Sound good?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see you guys on the other side.
They thought they was going to kill me with all their hate. Let them hoes blow, baby. You can hate me all you want to, cuz it's only going to make me stronger.
I don't think they hear me, dog.
You can't stop this, dog. You can't stop this. It's God's plan. And I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm free now.
I'm ready.
I got my mind right.
The heat out on your boy, and they left me for dead.
Oh, blood in my eyes, thorns on my head. Only thing that I can hear is what my savior say. While I'm in my own blood, and I can't feel my leg. But I'ma live,
I'ma live.
I will not die. Got up off the ground, and I wiped that blood up out my eyes. Got my mind right, got my grind right. Stood up, now it's time to rise. Been resurrected,
resurrected.
I am alive. Blood drip, headed for war. Fire in my eyes. Ready for war, don't turn it back. I got my dog.
status, take on the whole city. We don't retreat, we do not quit. We are not the same to live and die for the truth. Let's be plain, this is why I came. And if I were you, this dog, I'd probably hate me too. But the power that I come in is too big for you. To stop, so stop it for me before you go too far. My mind right, the time right, boy, and I'm ready for more.
Into the sky, my war goes on.
And the local trainer. Confusion enters, and the questions go unanswered. Is my current trainee capable of developing my full potential, or should I look for additional information? How do I prevent injuries from occurring? How does nutrition really work? Am I leadership material or mentally tough? And the ultimate question, what is the best path for me or my athlete's long-term development in life as well as an athlete? The McCarthy Project will turn your frustration, guesswork, and confusion into a clear and concise path that will allow the athlete to reach their full potential. We will work directly with you and your athlete on a personal and individual level to develop a path for the attainment of elite performance in life and sport. For more information on our products, for working with athletes on a local, national, and international level, contact us at 612-741-0982 or visit themccarthyproject.com. That's 612-741-0982 or themccarthyproject.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the McCarthy Project. I'm Sean Goodsell with the McCarthy Project. I'm also here with Stephen McCarthy, the inventor, the CEO, the lead voice, the message creator, and the passion behind the McCarthy Project, which is attacking and encouraging others to attack life and sport, and they've been doing it since 2001. So thank you for listening to today's show, and we're going to re-engage ourselves in some of the content of last week around the efficient functioning of the central nervous system, and as it relates to different concepts and different principles. And then we're going to move into part B or part two on training the central nervous system. So, Stephen, give us a little just review of last week's show and the content, and then we'll move into the stuff you want to talk about for today.
Yes. The end result is, and I think that is where we want to be, is what is all the science boiled down to? And what it boils down to is that if you allow yourself to eat a proper diet and recover, properly supplementing your diet with certain nutrients and minerals, and staying away from processed foods and really being attentive, that your brain will work better by simply a little bit of effort on the forefront. Your brain will, you won't have that fog that you're feeling. You won't have some people get flushed. Some people have really difficult time eating certain foods. I mean, it really does go on and on and on. But that is essentially what we're saying, is just pay attention to what you're putting in your body. Pay attention to how it's made, how it's grown, and that will be the basis point to start to the next part, which is, okay, now what are we going to do to our body so that it will work properly?
Sounds great. Where do you want to begin today? Do you want to talk specifically about some of the chemicals again and how they operate, or do you want to move right into the central nervous system training for today?
I just assume, I think the research is on our site. You know, you can take the time to, you know, spend maybe an hour or so to go over all the science, because that is for a more research-based person than myself. But I'd like to go more over into, okay, what are the things that we can do to essentially recruit or activate motor units, which are the pieces through the body that we're looking to activate so that your muscles function at a higher level. And those are done by just a couple.
Go ahead.
Well, let's break it down into two questions, really, and let's let the question guide the content so the listener can kind of create a framework within themselves. So let's start with what types of training actually will stimulate your central nervous system.
Okay, the majority of the research shows that if you are doing a exercise, that the intensity of the exercise needs to be 80 or 85% or higher of your one rep max. And what that basically means is that if you do a test, either it doesn't have to be go out there and lift what you can do one time. It could be merely just doing an estimated one rep max. And then you find that number and then taking 80% of that number, 85%, 90%, and then actually lifting that one or two times, that you're exciting your brain, you're exciting your central nervous system to recruit those motor units and therefore eliciting the gain that you're looking for of your brain working at a higher level. And that is
so,
big things.
So if you're doing exercise that's not congruent with that theory, then what's happening?
Essentially, what you're doing is you're training at a lower level, and you're not going to gain the excitability of your central nervous system to work better. You may get bigger muscles, but it isn't going to actually make them work at a higher level. There's a lot of research that actually shows that bodybuilders are not necessarily great basketball players or great football players because they have big muscles that they've done these longer duration 10, 15 sets, 3 or 4 sets of 10 or 15, and they basically made their muscles get bigger, but they actually aren't working in tandem at a higher level to actually gain the sport mastery that you're looking for.
So basically, you have some people who are growing muscle mass as a sign or symptom of their workouts. That growing muscle mass doesn't mean that your body is functioning in an optimal performance way.
That's correct. And so therefore you look at a lot of what people are doing nowadays is they're doing bodybuilding workouts, which may look like the workouts are working because their muscles are getting bigger and they're putting on muscle mass, but in a sense it doesn't actually help them perform at a higher level, let's put it that way. Now they may feel stronger. They may feel there's a benefit, but they really are not able to recruit those muscles in a way that makes them actually accomplish the goal.
So when I look at my athletes that I coach and I say, you know, I don't care that you went to the gym to work out as much as I care about what kind of workout you engaged in. What I'm saying is that if you go to the gym and what you're trying to create is a body that looks nice at the beach, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be better in your sport because you have a nicer looking body at the beach.
Yes, that is correct. Now, and I'll give you another example too, is that when you go into the weight rooms of the world and there are the six guys that are always there and you watch them, I would just recommend to sit there and watch them, and where they spend the majority of their time are buys and tries, the bench and pull-ups, and the cable cross. And what that turns out to look like is a guy with big arms, big chest, big back, little toothpick legs, and looks good in, you know, a pair of shorts, but can't accomplish much of anything beyond that. It's amazing to me because team after team that I've worked with, I walk into them thinking, I've worked with state champion hockey teams before, where I walked in and I just assumed that they would have strong legs and a, you know, strong upper body, be just good athletes. Well, I've walked in there, and they actually could bench press more than they could squat.
Yeah, I used to always tell my players, I go, especially those that were football players, I used to say, you know, your 500-pound bench press does you no good laying on the ground.
Because
somebody took you out because you didn't work sports specifically to improve your performance. You worked because you wanted to, you know, look nice at the beach. And I'm glad that you're addressing this subject matter because there's so many things in the realm of performance that people believe improve their performance that really has nothing to do with performance improvement. It has more to do with ego. It has more to do with making yourself feel good about how you look. I know a lot of athletes who are trained performance specific who, you know, who look a certain way, and it's not beach ready, but it's sport specifically productive.
Yes. And that's the true essence of the goal, if that's what your goal is. You know, if you're looking to perform better, on the field or in your event, you have to excite the brain so that it does what you want it to do at the time that you're supposed to do it, or that you can do it better than somebody else. And until you get that communication at a high level, you're pretty much just walking around like a bodybuilder, and you can flex all you want, but you ain't going to be able to jump. You ain't going to be able to throw hard. I mean, I don't see very many bodybuilders that are very good baseball pitchers, you know, from that standpoint.
Well, I want to affirm your work here, Stephen, because in the sports psychology realm, there's two guys that have written books that support your physical theory from a mental theory, which is Jeff Colvin wrote a book called The Art of Deliberate and Intentional Practice, and Daniel Coyne wrote a book called The Talent Code, and both of these books highlight research that has to do with repetitions in practice that are associated with a certain level of intensity and game prototype that increases the speed and the functioning of the brain to a point where it becomes a performance enhancement practice, as opposed to a practice that's just kind of going through the routine of different skills and different walkthroughs, if you will, has no bearing. And really, in many cases, in both of these books, they would talk about that practice as virtually being a worthless practice, because it doesn't do anything to enhance the function of the brain as it relates to enhanced performance.
Exactly. And that's where I think you look at how many kids are going out to, they go to the summer speed and strength. They're going there for 3 hours. If you look at some of the most intense Russian workouts from the 60s, and we always hear about how they drop people from 6 feet in the air and they did all these things, you're going, that's it? That's all they did? And it's so simple if you take the time to understand what you're doing, that these 3 or 4 hour workouts that they're going through for speed and strength are actually hindering the kids in the long run. Let alone not being duration. They're only there for 6-8 weeks. Well, then they take 2 months off, and so where did they go? They basically did all that work for nothing. So it really is an interesting discussion when you get down to trying to be, and it's funny because we keep talking about on the Mental Edge today about consistency and clarity and all these different things. It's the same thing here. If you're not consistent and clear about what you're trying to accomplish, it's useless. It's just busy work in the end. You know, and this is where, it's amazing how much time flies, but I've got 2-3 other points here, Sean. I'll just rip through quick. Is post-workout exercises to promote recovery, and then the proper amount of workouts or rest during the workouts. That's another piece that people are really not taking advantage of, is that they're this random hardcore workout, survival of the fittest, where they go kill themselves for an hour, and they think that's considered a good workout. Well, what the research has shown is that you're basically putting yourself in a debt position, because you're not allowing your body to recover. Even in between exercises, you should give yourself 2-3 minutes sometimes of rest in between each set. Not, okay, I'm going to do 3 sets, then I'm going to rest 5 minutes, do 3 sets. No, 1 set, 3 minutes. 1 set, 3 minutes. 1 set. So you basically worked out for a minute, and it's taken you 10 minutes. And that's where you come down to it, to realize that so much of working out in the proper way is not about absolutely annihilating yourself, you know, or doing all these bodybuilding workouts. It just doesn't work out.
Well, and don't rush through these. I mean, take each one of these, because
okay.
both of those are extremely significant in my mind. And I realize that there's a tendency to want to rush because of time, and I realize that, but there's no sense rushing and then compromising the content, because we want the listeners to get
okay.
the content. So let's start with the first one and then just unpack it a little bit.
Okay, so the first one is post-workout exercises that you can actually do. If you go into a really heavy session, there are certain exercises that you could do that actually promote recovery of the work that you just did. So, like in the spine position, there are different hanging exercises that you can do off of a glute ham machine for a certain amount of time, which we have a link on our site to a friend of mine, Cal Dietz, who's actually put together a 7 to 10 minute recovery workout that's all about promoting the recovery of your central nervous system for a very high-level workout. And how many kids do you think when they get done with the workout, they just walk away? You know what I mean? Even if it was difficult. So you could see that there's actually different. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay. But it ultimately comes down to is that there's things that you can do that allow your body to recover. And you should be doing those things. If you're not purposely allowing yourself to recover from an intense workout, it's just like the visualization of you're going into a little bit of a depth, and then a little bit more of a depth. You keep working out and you keep piling on top, and all of a sudden the hole is so deep you can't even get out of. That's why so many kids are getting burnt out with sport, is because why would I want to keep doing this? I feel like crap. I may look a little good, but I feel like crap. My brain is in a fog, and I'm not getting any better. I wouldn't want to do it either, you know.
In our society, we haven't yet evolved to the idea that the litmus test of your program of training is the results you're creating. We think somehow if you come home at night or you come home after a workout and you can't walk, that's your litmus test of success. And there's a lot of people in different parts of the world that are proving to us that there is a way to do workouts that enhance performance that are absolutely, basically 180 degrees different than what we've grown up with. And most of us in the world of sport have to eliminate our beliefs about certain things to even begin to embrace a different way to work out.
Yes. And the thing that you look at is that I call them the random hardcore workouts or survival of the fittest speed sessions, you know, where you run up and down the hill 28 times and you're puking on the side and that's considered a great workout. Or, like you say, you go in and you go into a hockey practice and you walk out and you can't even stand up after it because of miracle. You know what I mean? You know, Herb Brooks did it. Well, then it's got to be good for us, you know?
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And sure, if that is your goal, his goal was to gain a certain level of understanding at a mental level. It had nothing to do with the stupid skating or the number of times he did it. He was looking to get a certain place in your mind. If that's your goal, once in a while, I'm all in on that. Sometimes you do have to push yourself beyond your understanding of what is reality, if that makes sense.
Right. Right, exactly.
But consistently do that to yourself over and over and over and over again, you're just putting yourself into a very difficult position. And then, this gets into another thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, finish your thought, and then I was going to encourage you to move to the second concept.
Yeah, because it's funny because they all tie together. I'm going to go to the another idea. Is one of the things that I think in today's world, when is the last time a young kid has gone to walk in the woods or think about painting a picture or just drawing something? There's so much to be said to allow your brain the time to relax, you know, and if you're going to stress it out with workouts, with sport, with school, when is your downtime? If you're always hooked up to technology, thinking about it into that arrested development, when does your brain actually take the time to recover? And that's one of the things that you can do is is just go for a walk and look at the trees and look at the birds and walk in the river. Go swimming. Remember we used to all go swimming in the river, you know, when we were kids? You know, it was just a fun day doing nothing.
Yeah, but it was doing something. And the thing of it is that people wonder, and I hope that sometime on the McCarthy Project we do something related to sleep. Because
yes.
Because the more excited and the more overstimulated your central nervous system is because you're not taking care of optimizing its functioning, I know that it affects people's capacity to sleep. And I know it affects the ability to rest their body, which in turn, if you're going to go work out again the next day, you don't get the recovery benefit of the workout the day before, and you don't get the you don't get the benefit of the workout next time.
There's actually, it's funny because I just did the research for a show on sleep. I mean, I already have it all queued up. And there is actually the Stanford Research Institute actually did a study on a basketball team. I don't remember the exact dates. It was it was between 2006 and 2010, somewhere in there. And they actually show the results of the study ultimately showed like a 15 to 20% improvement in the performance of the athletes if they just added sleep.
I believe that. I never, you know what, I wouldn't have thought of it that way before, but I do think about it that way now. I honestly never would have thought about it that way, but I now believe that.
Yes, and you look at it. Now, if you take now this is the thing that, you know, we talked earlier about the hinder and the positive, or how do you improve and how do you hinder. This is a recipe for failure, because I think this is a pure example of what happens in young people's lives. I call it refuse to look at restoration training or managing workloads. If you're swimming at the lake all day, then going to practice for 2 hours, and then going to a workout from 8 to 9, don't you think that might be a little bit too much in one day? And that's the question I have for you.
But people don't think about swimming at the lake all day as workload. They think of that as nothing, which is part of the problem. They don't. It's kind of like when you eat food. You snack on stuff throughout the day, and you don't think it counts in your overall diet.
Exactly. But you think about it. Now, if you do this basically from, you know, you go to bed late because you're watching TV late at night, then you get up later, and then you go to this, you go swimming all day, then you go to practice, then you work out, and you do this day after day after day after day, how in the world does your body ever get to recover from the work that it did? Now you're not sleeping properly, so even the sleep that you're getting isn't working. And now you compound that by year after year after year after year. You know, why would our body produce results? You know what I mean?
Why wouldn't our body rebel against us and tell us to stop doing what we're doing, which is what it does, but we just don't pay attention to that message.
Exactly. We caffeinate, you know, and that's another thing, the energy drink world. You know, we're going to add in the energy drink, which gets into those excitotoxins things, so it becomes this big, quick fix, you know, and then all of a sudden we realize that we crash the next day, so now we need two. I mean, I just saw a thing on the other day on the gas station, 3 energy drinks for $5. Woo! Think about that. You'd be like, if you got 3 at one time and you were a kid, you'd have those babies down in a heartbeat because they go down so easy because they're small or they taste halfway decent, some of them anyways. And you realize that you're messing with your system and they don't realize why they can't produce the results they want. Well, dude, go get another energy drink, I guess, you know, have fun, you know, but I just don't see how that's allowing your body to recover. I mean, even when you look back into the Soviet system, and I've done a lot of research in the Soviets recently, and they keep talking about, well, I'm going to post next week, there's a guy, I'm not going to give his name, but he's on Outside Magazine. He's giving his tips for success in sport, okay? He works out 3 to 5 times a day, doesn't take a nap very often. He does sleep a lot. If he ever sees anything he wants to eat, he just eats it all. And, you know, it just basically everything that we're talking about is against, or he's against everything that we're talking about today. I said, if young kids read that, they would absolutely just be mentally awash in nothingness after a year of doing that. Just nothing. But yet he's considered a big time athlete. You know, he's won the world championship of a certain event. So it's stupidity.
Well,
but
that's why
again,
I'm glad
we have to keep doing it.
Well, I'm glad that you are bringing clarity and quality of information to the table, because ultimately speaking, people got to decide. And I believe that when you bring truth to people and explain it well and give practical points of application, what you're doing is basically re-engaging and redefining common sense. Because what is common sense? It's things you do that are based in common logic that allow you to make sense out of it so you can employ it or apply it in your life. And the problem with most people is their common sense has been based on myth. And if they really think about, you know, what they believe and break it down into its smallest pieces, you realize that the myth is really that. It's truth that we have become loyal to that's not truthful. But we've made it truthful because we want it to be. And so when you bring forth this information, you lay it out clearly and you say, okay, give it a shot. What do you got to lose? The results will speak for themselves. The results always speak for themselves, either positive or negative results.
Yeah, I think your quality of life will increase. I mean, if I was to say to you, well, I am going to increase your quality of life by that fog you feel like you're in all the time, we're going to try to eliminate that. Your energy levels will increase. The potential of you losing weight that you want to lose, is there. Plus, you'll be able to perform at a higher level. And you'll have more fun doing other things because you're not so busy beating yourself up in the event itself. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, obviously, there's a large portion of people that don't want to do that because they're not doing it.
Exactly. They would rather listen to Outside Magazine tell them about how they have to beat themselves up till they're silly and how they can do whatever they want and eat whatever they want, not realizing what's in the food, that they are essentially driving themselves into the ground for no reason at all.
Well, this is great stuff, Stephen. Is there any final thoughts you have in terms of wrapping up this portion or this piece of content?
All I'm saying is check out the information. I mean, I am not a research-level scientist, but when you find the information that I've collected to on the website, you'll see that what I'm saying is true. Literally, you can work out at a higher level, get the results that you want to have, and enjoy the process far and away better than what you're currently doing. I just think that if you take the time, you'll see that the information is true.
Well, as always, I learned something today. This is stuff that I didn't know as much about as you did, and because of your commitment to research and commitment to attacking life in sport, you again bring some great information to us, the listener, and I thank you for that. Appreciate your commitment to excellence in these areas, and look forward to another show next week when we can teach the listener how to attack life in sport with excellence and with result.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to it.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.